Prologue. There was nothing that anyone could have done. Natalie's co-workers looked over their cubicles with shocked faces as the EMTs gave up on reviving her. They covered her with a sheet and wheeled her onto the elevator and out the door. Her team came into the common area and stood as quietly as trees in a forest, with only soft whispers about the hideousness of what had occurred, shuddering between them like the wind. My God! Did you see what she looked like? They looked at each other helplessly, and then they were sent home while the area was disinfected. The ambulance drove silently from Visiozyme's prime Kendall Square location and over the river from Cambridge into Boston, where Natalie was taken to Mass General Hospital. It had been just an hour before when Natalie had returned from her weekly lunch with Jerry Fox. She had started feeling odd just a few minutes after she sat down at her desk, but dismissed it, thinking that she might be queasy from something she had eaten or was coming down with a virus. Natalie had popped two Tums in her mouth from her top drawer and opened up a spreadsheet on her computer. As she waited for her stomach to settle, her skin began to tingle, as if her nerve endings were on fire. Then a nasty rash erupted on her arms and face. She touched her burning cheeks and was horrified at the new landscape of bumpy peaks and valleys that had formed on her perfect skin. She could feel her veins delivering acid throughout her body. Her skin felt like it was melting her from the inside. She tried to focus on her computer, but the screen danced in circles in front of her eyes. She watched her symptoms develop with a weird fascination. Had she been poisoned? Natalie knew that her colleagues called her a bitch behind her back. She also knew what she was getting into when she took the job as the only woman manager at Visiozyme, and figured that this came with the territory. But being poisoned was something else entirely. Why would anyone want to get rid of her? As far as she knew, her only fault at work had been her enviable success. She was a prized member of the executive team and very good at what she did. Natalie didn't think that her colleagues were bad guys, just clueless. Her stomach lurched off the rails in vile contractions, guiding her quinoa and kale salad towards making an encore. Of course, there was Jerry's wife, who might want her dead. But Natalie doubted if she knew the extent of her relationship with Jerry. Of course, there was the team of wild programmers that she managed, all male except for poor Bettina, the interface designer. Bettina was the butt of their jokes when they thought that she was out of earshot. This week's brand was a running competition to compare the size of Bettina's brain to her breasts. There was no good outcome for Bettina in these jokes, since the consensus was that both were too small. Those morons were also clueless, but in a different way. She had already fired one of them, Simon Whitehead. He was the only one who was just a shade more off kilter, and just strange enough to try something so diabolical, but he had been marched out of the building 5 weeks ago and had no access. The rest of them were jerks, but probably harmless. Natalie had been a stickler for detail, but who would want her dead? She considered it ironic that she thought of her workplace as toxic. After all, Visiozyme was a biotech company that specialized in antidepressants. Wasn't the whole point of the medicines they produced to make people feel better? There was only one person who bothered to talk to Natalie at all. It was Jerry Fox, one of the board members, and he appeared to be very pleased with Natalie's performance. She speed-dialed Jerry Fox. "It's me," she told his voicemail. "I'm feeling sick, and at first I thought it might be something that we ate at lunch. Do you feel bad, too? It could be food poisoning, but this is very strange. I'm trying not to panic, but I think I might have been poisoned. Can you help? Jerry, where the hell are you?" Natalie stood up feeling woozy and nearly passed out as she ran to the ladies' room. She glanced at her reflection in the mirror. Her dark, frightened eyes looked ghoulish against her white skin. The blotchy rash that she had sprouted on her arms was now on her cheeks and had erupted into tiny blisters. As her forehead broke out in a cold sweat, Natalie collapsed on the tile floor. Her hands slipped from her mouth that had been holding the blood that she had tried to contain, and it spilled and spread into a sizable puddle on the floor. Bettina's scream upon finding Natalie on the ladies' room floor minutes later had set off initial pandemonium. The ambulance only took moments to whoop-whoop its way in the front door of the Kendall Square headquarters of Visiozyme, and then Natalie was gone. Steve Hahn, one of the head programmers on Natalie's team, stepped outside onto Main Street and took out his phone and called Jerry Fox. No one picked up.
Hey, it's Steve Hahn. Sorry to tell you this. I thought you might want to know that Natalie is dead. Call me.